Think with me for a little bit. Because to be specific, if Jesus went to one of our local family Christian bookstores this week to pick up a Bible, what version would he buy? I've thought often about that. Well, we can find the precise answer to that question in the Bible we hold. The grouping and the orderings of the books in the ancient Hebrew Bible are different than what we have in our Christian Bibles this morning. The grouping, the ordering of the books. In fact, the Hebrew Bible only had 22 books. That's because they scrunched them together. They put the Chronicles together and Samuel together and Kings together. And they put a lot of the First and Seconds together. And they put them in three distinct groupings and they moved them around from the order we have from Genesis to Malachi. So that causes people a little concern. But the Christian Bible, the one we hold in our hands, adopted the same order and grouping that's found in what's called the Septuagint. Now, you might have heard that, Septuagint. It's abbreviated with the Roman numerals LXX, you know, 50, 10, 10, 70. That concept, that 70 authored or scholared translation book is something that follows what we have in our Bibles this morning. And so, that was a Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. You say, why do you even bring that up? Well, let me give you a short history lesson, okay? Our missionaries, they were loving history, especially wanting to be a professor of history. Well, most people don't like history, but here's one paragraph, okay? After his conquest of the Babylonian Empire, Alexander the Great promoted his Greek language. He made it the language spoken throughout the entire known world. And thus, almost everyone, including the Jews who lived in Israel, spoke the Greek language. And because of that, Hebrew fell into disuse. And the majority of the common people did not even use Hebrew, and they reserved it primarily for ceremonial purposes. Kind of in our culture, it would be like Latin among Roman Catholics. Do you remember how, you know, Latin was the language of the Roman Empire, but then it became the language of the Roman Catholic Church, but then the common people didn't speak it anymore, and so only the priests, and so it was kind of ceremonial and nobody really knew it. That's how Hebrew got among the Jewish people. In order to make the Jewish scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, available to the average Jewish reader, in the 3rd century BC, a project was undertaken. And the Jewish leaders said, we've got to get the Hebrew that nobody can read anymore into the language they all read today, which is Greek. And that project, the 70 scholars commissioned to complete this work, gave the result known as the Septuagint, the LXX, literally the 70 translation. Now, go from history to reality. The Septuagint was the first translation of the Hebrew Bible. And it was made in the 3rd century BC by Jewish scribes, who were the direct descendants of those who had been trained in Ezra's great synagogue in Jerusalem. They were complete experts in the Old Testament text, and they were very, very well versed in both Hebrew, which they used constantly, and Greek, which they grew up speaking. So this translation became very popular among the Jews of the first 2 centuries before Christ, because many of those did not understand Hebrew even leading up to the time of Christ. Their ancestors had left Israel centuries before, and generation after generation had gradually lost the Hebrew Scriptures. Now let's get to the time of Christ. In Jesus' day, most of the Jews in Jesus' day used the Septuagint as their Bible. And quite naturally, the early Christians also used the Septuagint in their meetings and in their personal readings. And many of the New Testament apostles quote from the Septuagint when they write the Gospels and the Epistles in Greek. But what's most fascinating is that the order of the books in the Septuagint transferred over and became the order of the books as you and I hold in our Bibles this morning, with the 66 books, the 39 Old Testament books, starting in Genesis and ending in Malachi. But this means if we look carefully at Christ's ministry, that Jesus, listen, primarily used a translation of the Old Testament. Jesus primarily used that Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. He did not carry around his big scroll from Moses and read from the Hebrew. Jesus memorized, quoted, and used a translation. That's something to just kind of let it sink in your mind. Jesus and the apostles studied, memorized, quoted, used, and read most often from the Bible of their day, the Septuagint. And since Matthew wrote primarily to convince the Jews that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed their promised Messiah, it follows as a matter of course that the gospel would be saturated with Old Testament quotations. And it is. But listen to this. When Jesus quotes the Old Testament in Matthew, he uses the Hebrew text 10% of the time. And he uses the Greek translation of the Hebrew text 90% of the time. It shows what he was most using. Amazingly, both Jesus and Paul used the Septuagint as their primary Bible. It was just like the Bible each of us holds in our hands. It's not the original Hebrew Old Testament, but a translation of the Hebrew into Greek. But it was based on exactly the same original and inspired words, and reads just like the Bible we hold in our hands. You see, when you look at, in fact, you've heard the Dead Sea Scrolls were in Hebrew, but when you look at those Hebrew scrolls, they exactly paralleled and completely were in sync with the Greek translation of the Hebrew that was used in Christ's time. So, what are the eternal benefits of trusting in this book that Jesus trusted in? Let's go back to the book of Romans. You're in Matthew. Go to the right. You're right in the beginning of the New Testament. Go to Romans. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. That's a long one, 28 chapters. Romans. And get to the 10th chapter of Romans. And I want to show you the eternal benefits of trusting God's Word like Jesus did. Jesus said, what I'm quoting from, which is a translation, is the very Word of God. And I assure you that not one word of it will pass away.